speaking of who was St. Patrick, well, we decided to talk to an expert in this area. Professor Michael P. Foley of Baylor University in Texas separates some fact from fiction for us. He first tells Radio Kerry's Tracer Murphy why he is so interested in St. Patrick.
Well, for a couple of reasons. I am a Catholic theologian and I do a lot of work in the history of the saints. So in general, I'm interested in saints. But as an Irish American, I've always had a special fondness for St. Patrick. And one year decided to try to dig into his story a little more deeply.
What facts can we establish about St. Patrick? Or is it now impossible given the fact that he died in the 5th century?
It's difficult. Especially dealing with someone, as you say, who lived so long ago. The easy thing to conclude is that the things that we most associate with him didn't happen. We can start with the fact, the popular lore about him, about the shamrock or about his wearing green. Those we know not to be true. But we do know there was a St. Patrick. We do know that his nickname was Patricius. He was going to be the patriarch, the father of a new Christian nation. And we do know he was wildly successful in his evangelizing efforts.
And Patrick's origins, where exactly did he come from? Can we establish that?
We can't. We do know, based on what he said in his autobiography, he did give us an autobiography, that it was somewhere either Northwest England or Scotland. And he identifies himself as both a Roman and a Briton, which in the ancient Britons were Celtic. So even though St. Patrick is not Irish, he was a Celt.
And is it true then that what we heard, the story of Patrick, that he was abducted and sold into slavery and this is how he came to Ireland?
That is correct. That is what he tells us in his autobiography, and we have no cause to doubt him. He was actually enslaved twice, once as a 16-year-old youth, and then he was carried away, spent 6 years in slavery. And then when he returned as a missionary, he was enslaved again. And historically, this actually makes perfect sense, because at the time that Patrick lived, Britain was still a Roman province, but they were withdrawing all their legions to protect other parts of the empire. This created a situation of political and social chaos. And so you had these marauding groups that would customarily kidnap people and sell them into slavery.
Everyone has heard about the myth of him driving the snakes out of Ireland. That's just a myth, is it?
It is a myth, but it's a myth with a truth. If you look at it symbolically, there were some very dark elements to Druidic religion, up to and including human sacrifice. So when he drove the snakes from Ireland, you can see the serpent as a representative of evil. So he did, in a certain sense, drive certain forms of evil out of the island.
And he's not the only patron saint of a country, I understand.
So he has a few interesting patronages. He is obviously the patron saint of Ireland. The only other nation that he is a patron saint of is Nigeria. And probably for two reasons, well, maybe three. In 1961, when Nigeria declared independence from Great Britain, most of the bishops were Irish. Also, the Irish had first brought the Catholic faith to Nigeria in the 19th century. And perhaps the third commonality was a shared disdain of the British.
Even though, as you said yourself, Patrick himself would have seen himself as a Briton, but also as a Roman. So dual identities there.
That's right. I guess I would say in Patrick's defense, a Celtic Briton, not an Anglo-Saxon Briton.
Why do you think the story of St. Patrick resonates to this day? Why does it? I know you're a theologian, so obviously the story that he's left us would interest you greatly, and you're an Irish American as well. But there are many, many saints. Why does Patrick's story resonate with so many, do you think?
he was a very approachable fellow. He was tough. He was disciplined, but he showed incredible bravery. He wasn't the first missionary to Ireland. The first missionary stayed for a little bit and then basically ran screaming and shouting away from the island, complaining to the Pope that, you know, these Irishmen were just incorrigible. but Patrick was brave and persistent. And again, just a remarkable evangelizer. You know, Ireland was decentralized and all these different tribes and clans, and he went to every single one of them and preached the word. So he is someone to be impressed with.
So it's fair enough to say that he single-handedly converted Ireland to Christianity?
Well, you know, even great men have help. He was really good at converting people and then having friends who helped him in further conversion. He converted several of the nobles of Ireland, and they became some of his most fervent evangelists. So it's close to a single-handed conversion, but of course, it's more complicated than that.
Our Taoiseach, our Prime Minister, has said that the story of Patrick, that it could be argued that he could be seen as an asylum seeker today, or somebody with a similar situation to an asylum seeker, a lone, single young man brought here to Ireland. Do you think there's any merit to that analogy?
Ooh, I don't know, but I do know that one of his patronages is that he is a patron saint of migrants. And that makes sense because he himself was a migrant, and of course, the Irish people have been, you know, migrants for so many years.
You've also written a book, and I had to bring this up, called Drinky with Your Patron Saints. And I didn't realise that, according to you, Michael, Dr. Michael Foley, that there's almost a drink for every patron saint. Tell us a bit more about that, and where does St. Patrick feature in all of this?
Well, I have authored three such cocktail books, actually. Drinking with the Saints, Drinking with St. Nick, which is a Christmas book, and Drinking with Your Patron Saints. And the basic idea is that I pair beer, wine, and cocktail suggestions for the feast days of the church year. And when I say I pair, I mean it, that, you know, there isn't a standard cocktail or alcoholic beverage for every saint, but that's precisely the gap I was trying to fill.
What would you recommend people imbibe to toast St. Patrick?
Well, as well you know, there's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to alcohol and Ireland. So obviously there are an array of wonderful beers, and I'm really excited. It seems like Ireland is experiencing a new sort of golden age of whiskey, and Irish whiskey is really phenomenal. So I encourage readers to become reacquainted with a dram of Irish.
And what are your own plans for St. Patrick's Day, Michael, over in Texas? You're in Waco, is that right?
That is correct, yes. And, you know, I'm sure you know that in the United States, St. Patrick's Day is a very festive day, sometimes a little too festive. So I will be spending the evening with family and friends and toasting to our health.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. There you go. It's the story of details of the real St. Patrick, I suppose, the what would you call him, an evangelist, I suppose, the proselytizer, the man who came and stuck it out with the Irish all those years ago. That's Professor Michael P. Foley of Baylor University in Texas, a specialist in studies in St. Patrick, talking to Radio Kerry's Tracy Murphy. Give us your views on that.